We begin today a three-week annual stewardship campaign, which we do in the fall every year. We talk about the gifts and talents that we have and how those can bless our congregation. Don Richardson, I was talking about you a minute ago, and I didn't even see you sitting back there. Good to see you. Joe's doing well? All right. Today, we're going to start this stewardship campaign kind of on a festive note. The invitation, I was talking to the children about, to a wedding banquet. The scripture tells the story of a host, a monarch, whose child is getting married, and the host has prepared a wedding banquet and sent invitations to the guests. And before I read that scripture, right before this scripture in Matthew, there's some very important things that I think you need to know about to kind of get the context of this parable. Jesus was teaching in the temple. It was right after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And the chief priests and elders were so irritated, they were so angry, so upset, because he was so popular with the people, that they popped off and asked him if he could give them one. He said, basically, give me one good reason why you are coming in here to our temple on our turf and talking like this. And Jesus gave them more than one reason why he was doing that day. In response, finally, after turning over the tables and several other stories, he told these leaders, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to some people who are living a kingdom life." That's basically what Jesus said to them. And then what follows after that are several parables which illustrate it. And I think this information explains why most scholars believe that all of these parables are directed straight at the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. And so let's read this one now with that idea in mind. Matthew 22, 1-14, the great banquet. "Once again, Jesus used stories to teach the people. The kingdom of heaven," remember, it's the kingdom of God, unless you're Jewish. And if you're Jewish, you can't say the name of God. So that's why Matthew always says the kingdom of heaven. "The kingdom of heaven is like what happened when a king gave a wedding banquet for his son. The king sent some servants to tell the invited guests to come to the banquet. But the guests refused. He sent other servants to say to the guests, 'The banquet is ready. My cattle and prize calves have all been prepared. Everything is ready. Come to the banquet.' But the guests did not pay any attention, and some of them left for their farms, and some went to their places of business, and others grabbed the servants, beat them up, and killed them. This made the king so furious that he sent an army to kill those murderers and burn down their city. Then he said to the servants, 'It's time for the wedding banquet, and the invited guests don't deserve to come. Go out to the street corners and tell everyone you meet to come to the banquet.' And they went out on the streets and brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet room was filled with guests. And when the king went in to meet the guests, he found that one of them wasn't wearing the right kind of clothes for the wedding. The king asked, 'Friend, why didn't you wear proper clothes for the wedding?' But the guest had no excuse, so the king gave orders for that person to be tied hand and foot and to be thrown outside into the dark. That's where people will cry and grit their teeth in pain. Many are invited, but only a few are chosen." The word of God for the people of God. Last summer, we were talking about these parables of Jesus. The series was called Hear Then the Parable. And I was talking about Professor Brandon Scott and a lot of what he had shared with me about the parables of Jesus and why I got so enthusiastic about them. And I want to tell you about another professor that I had in seminary. And I'm guessing that you all have known someone like this. This guy always said whatever the most outrageous thing you can imagine for someone to say, this professor would say it. He would say he was funny, okay? He was sarcastic when he was teaching us. He was often offensive. I was going to say he was sometimes offensive, but he was often offensive. He said things that I never expected. I never knew what this guy was going to say. And always in class, after a particularly outrageous comment that he would make, he would say, "Now remember, sometimes I get carried away. And if you guys quote me outside of class, I'll call you a liar." And so I asked him to lunch, because I was trying to unlock the secret of this professor. Why do you act like that? We're studying history of Christianity in his class. And over time, that lunch and additional learning, I finally unlocked the key to understanding what my professor was trying to do. He was trying to teach me that I shouldn't take what he said literally, but that I should take it seriously. The professor was trying to get me to look beyond what I thought of as facts to what the truth was. The teacher was trying to make me give up my preconceived notions and look deeper and dig deeper and find new truths and new things. The professor was trying to get me to give up what I accepted as the truth and look for more truth than I ever really had thought could be there. Find something new. And as I was thinking about beginning our stewardship campaign this week, and I was reading this parable, I thought of my old professor, because I think that is exactly what Jesus is doing in this parable. I just wonder if Jesus wouldn't have given a caution like my professor did. Hey, I'm going to tell you this now. Don't quote me, because I'll call you a liar. That's what I'm hearing in this, because there's some very interesting things. Think about this. Have you ever received an invitation to a party that you didn't want to go to? I want an honest show of hands of how many people have gotten an invitation that they did not want to go to. Now, look at that. Almost every one of you. All right. How many of you killed the mailman who brought the invitation to you? Or you got, none of you did. You think maybe Jesus is getting a little carried away as he's telling this parable to the people? Have you ever invited people to your house to a party and they didn't come? I know every one of you have had that. You cooked, you cleaned, you turned on the music, you lit the candles, everything was ready, and those bozos didn't show up. Do you know what I'm talking about? And did you go over to their house and burn it down when they didn't come to your house? You think maybe Jesus is getting a little carried away when he is sharing this story? Because this parable of the king's son's wedding is so outrageous and so shocking that I think it begs not to be taken literally, but to be taken seriously. We need to look. If it's not about the facts, then what is the truth that Jesus is trying to give to us through this story. Because he's telling a story about a wedding, and it is a crazy story. There's these ornery people who are invited. There's cold-blooded murder. There's the destruction of cities. And then there's a ragtag group of afterthought guests. And remember when we were studying the parables last summer, I mean, for Matthew, if we followed Matthew's regular formula for interpreting these parables, then that means that God is an angry king who gets so mad when somebody tries to get away with something that he puts them out in the cold, or he kills them, or he burns down their house. Is that the God that you've read about of love in the four Gospels? That has got nothing to do with it. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, if we shared this story, if we said something like, you know, this is the parable of Jesus, and this is the gospel truth that Jesus said, Jesus would call us liars, because that is not the truth. The facts of this story are not the truth Jesus is trying to teach us. Jesus is trying to reveal something more to us. I love having the context of this and understanding that those invited guests, they're supposed to be taking the place of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, right? And, you know, they lost their place in the buffet line. I mean, they heard Jesus sharing his message about the kingdom of God. Jesus gave these religious leaders an invitation to come and be a part of the kingdom of God and help build it with me. And what did those religious leaders do? They rejected it. I think that is a truth that Jesus is trying to share with us. You know, when you reject the kingdom of God, you don't get to eat the wedding food, okay? There's no wedding food for you. Because this parable is an invitation for them and for all of us to join Jesus' kingdom work. When we participate in the mission and ministry God laid before us here at Slash, we have accepted the invitation that the Pharisees rejected. Because those religious leaders, they don't want everyone to be able to get to God. Back in their day, they were the gatekeepers between God and all the people. And they really liked that power. They liked being the gatekeepers. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, which is inclusive, and the Pharisees are talking about the Jewish way, which is exclusive. If you want to speak to God, you got to do it through me. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they never understood what Jesus was saying about the kingdom. They never participated, and they are the wedding guests that didn't come. The reason why we have an open table today is because we heard the invitation of Jesus come, and we decided it's Jesus' table and not ours, and there's nobody that stands in between the table and Jesus. And when we get to that story in the wedding about not wearing the right garment and they get thrown outside, what is the truth that Jesus is trying to give us about that? I'm going to guess that a lot of people had heard about the kingdom of God, but there were some people who said, yeah, man, go kingdom. And they sat around, but they never really participated in the work that Jesus was doing to try to make the world a better place. You know, they were kind of half committed. Maybe a third committed. And I think that part of this parable is very much about people who are lukewarm in their commitment. We heard last summer about all of these parables, how important the context is and understanding who the audience was and what points Jesus was trying to get across. And so I looked at this parable too when I was thinking about it in the context of our stewardship campaign, because we're asking everyone today to make a commitment of their time and talent and money, whatever resources you can bring for 2018. And there was one phrase in this that jumped off the page, and it comes right at the very beginning of the parable. And the phrase was, "Everything is ready." And that phrase just kept jumping out at me. And I'm thinking, you know, everything was ready, so the king said, "Come to the banquet." And that made me think that all of the resources that we need for our ministry plan next year, we have. Everything is ready. We just need to commit it in the right places so that the work God has planned for us next year can come to fruition. The bottom line is that God started this kingdom moving, and we are continuing that work. And so it's like this, I guess, Steve and Jen, did you hand out did a lot of people get something when they came in? You know what that is in your pocket? It's like an invitation to the wedding. It's an invitation to use your gifts and talents for whatever way God would have you use them in 2018. And we pray that you will participate with us. Amen? Amen. We come to a time of invitation.